Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th Hour in the Elgin, Texas. Today is February 15, 2023, or it is the 25th day of Adar, 2026. We will start this service with a song. Faith is a victory. And cast along the hills of life, ye Christian soldiers run. And test the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing sky. Against the foe and veils below, let all our strength be held. It is a victory flow that overcomes the world. It is a victory. It is a victory. No glory has victory that overcomes the world. His banner over us is love, our sword the word of Yah. We shed the road to saints above with shouts of triumph cry. Our faith, they like a whirlwind breath, swept on o'er every field. The faith of which they conquered death is still a shining shield. Faith is a victory. Faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. To him who overcomes the foe, my claimant shall be given. Before the angels he shall know his name confessed in heaven. And onward from the hills of life, the hearts with love aflame, will vanquish all the hosts of night in Yahshua's conquering day. Faith is a victory. Faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. Prayer, and we'll go into our service. And the title of our sermon is Thy Servant and Thy Redeemer. And this is lessons taken from the Isaiah Gospel Prophet by the Emily Anderson. The lesson scripture for this to study is Isaiah 49:24-26 and verse 50. For Isaiah 49:24-26, it says, The captives are delivered. The captives are delivered. We're at that time. We're coming up on that time now. The captives are delivered. Can a strong man's prey be taken from him when he has a lawful captive? For the answer is yes, for the prisoners may be taken away even from a strong man. For the Yahshua will contend with the mighty and save thy children. Those that oppress them shall be made to eat of their own flesh and drink of their own blood. Thus shall all the world know that the Yahshua is both a Savior and a Redeemer. Isaiah chapter 50. This chapter consists of the three separate sections, not very closely connected, for the teaching, however, is as beautiful as in any portion of the book. Verse 1-3, a rebuke unto Israel, for Yahshua here defends himself against the unfounded charge that he has put away his people. He has not put them away. for he has not sold them. What has happened, however, is that they have sold themselves. Before that, the Yahshua is not to blame, for the Yahshua is not only willing for the taking them back, but he is calling them to come, for he is perplexed to find that no one responds unto his call. Is it because they believe he is unable to save, that his hand is shortened? They should know better than that, for Yahshua is the one who dried up the Red Sea for Israel to pass over. For he clothes the heavens with the blackness and makes sackcloth their covering. Verses 4 to 9, it says, perfect through suffering. This section deals with the work and sufferings of the Yahshua, though the servant is not mentioned by the name, for the references are so clear that no one need misunderstand, for the subject is presented in the form of a soliloquy, as though Yahshua were thinking aloud for our benefit. For Yahshua has taught me how to speak and when to speak, so that I might be of help unto the despondent. Morning by morning he wakens me to teach me. He opened my ears, and I did not rebel or turn back. Verse 4 and 5, Isaiah 50. I willingly took the scourgings as it gave me, and when that they gave me, and when they plucked off the hair of my beard and spit in my face, I did not retaliate. For the Yahshua helped me, therefore I did not fail. I have set my face like a flint, and I know I shall not be ashamed. As verse 6 and 7. For the Yahweh, actually Yahshua, the Son, who justifies me is near. Who then can contend with me? Let us stand together. Let my adversary come near, for the Yahshua will help me. Who then can condemn me? Behold, they are as an old garment which the moth shall eat up. Verses 10 and 11. A message of encouragement. A warning unto the people. There may be some that fear the Yahshua and do all his commands. Yeah, and yet do not have the experience they long for, but rather seem to walk in the darkness and have trying experiences. What shall they do? Let them continue to trust in the Yahshua and keep near him, a light will come. There are some that kindle a fire of their own, thinking they are thus walking in the light. They are but walking in the sparks of their own kindling. Such are doomed for the disappointment. Isaiah 49:24. Applying the text spiritually, for the mighty is Satan. His captives are such as have deserted the banner of the Yahshua and gone over unto the enemy. While some are unwilling captives, many have gone over unto him of their own free will. For the question now is whether they can be delivered or must they ever remain captive. Verse 25. For the answer is definite. For the captive can be delivered, for the Yahweh will enter the battle and contend with the mighty. For the Yahshua, the Son, will enter into the battle and contend with the mighty and will save thy children. For the Yahshua must have had something like this in the mind when he said, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except that he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Matthew 12:29. For Yahshua is the man that enters into the strong man's house and binds him. When he ascended up on the high, he led captivity captive. Ephesians 4:8. Satan will at last be bound. Revelation 20:1-2. Verse 26. For the punishment meted out unto those who at last are lost is not a pleasant one to contemplate. Compare Revelation 19:17-18. For the Isaiah 50:1. Where is the bill of your mother's divorcement? Moses, because of the hardness of the Israel's heart, suffered them to be put away, to put away their wives, though from the beginning it was not so. Matthew 19:8. A man was permitted to put away his wife, giving her a bill of divorcement. After that was done, he might never take her back. The divorce was final and irrevocable. Deuteronomy 24:1-4. For Yahweh in this verse is telling his people that he has not put them away finally. There is yet hope for them. Unto whom have I sold you? For the law permitted without the approving of the selling of the persons into the body. Exodus 21:7. It says, also 2 Kings 4:1 and Nehemiah 5:5. Had the Yahshua sold his people? Question mark. By no means. They had sold themselves by the reason of their iniquity, and on that ground also the mother had been put away. For the point of the verse is this. Israel has separated themselves from the Yahweh. Yahweh had not done it. If he had divorced them, there was no hope. For a divorce was final. Hence, as the Yahweh had not divorced them, it was their own doing, and if they wished to come back, they might. Verse 2. None to answer. For the Yahweh, the Father expresses his astonishment that no one answers when he calls. This certainly cannot be because they believe him unable to say it. Actually, this is talking about Yahshua. For Yahshua expresses his astonishment that no one answers when he calls. This certainly cannot be because they have believed him unable to save. He has in the past shown his great power in the drawing up of the sea. Verse 4. For the tongue of the learned, the tongue of them that are taught, Yahshua was taught of the Father, for the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, John 15:10, as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things, John 8:28, for he wakeneth morning by morning, for the communication between the Father and Son was uninterrupted. At no time did the Father leave Yahshua alone. John 8:29. It says, whatsoever I speak, therefore even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. John 12:50. From this we learn that Yahshua received communication constantly from the heaven, and that when he spoke it was the Father's word, for he uttered. Verse 5. for the Asher hath opened, for the Yahweh hath opened mine ear. A contrast unto the Israel whose ear was not open. Isaiah 48:8. For the meaning here is that Yahshua had an open ear, a willing mind, and gladly did the biddings of the Yahweh, the Father. Verse 6, I gave my back to the smiter, a reference unto the scourging of the Yahshua. John 19:1. Isaiah 15:15. Off the hair, we have no record in the New Testament of this. Plucking off the hair of the beard is an extreme insult unto an original Oriental unto whom the beard is a symbol of dignity. Actually, it's a signal of his church. Shame and spitting. Matthew 26:67. Matthew 27:30. On scourging, note that Dr. C. Gackey says, Yahshua was now seized by some of the soldiers standing near, and after being stripped unto the waist, was bound in a stooping posture for his hands behind his back to the post. Let's do that again. On a scourging, Dr. C. Gaiety says, for the Yahshua was now seized by some of the soldiers standing near, and after being stripped unto the waist, was bound in a stooping posture for his hands behind his back to a posture or low pillar near the tribunal. He was then beaten until the soldiers chose to stop, and with the host of the rope or the plaited leather thongs armed at the ends with this, the acorn-shaped drops of the lead or small sharp-pointed bones. And in many cases, not only was the back of the person scourged, cut open in all directions, even the eyes, the face, and the breast were torn and cut, and the teeth not seldom knocked out. For the judge stood by to stimulate the sinewy executioners by the cries of, give it him. But we may trust that Pilate, though his office required his presence, spared himself of this crime. Under the fury of the countless stripes, the victim sometimes sank amid the screams, convulsive leaps, and distortions into a senseless heap, sometimes died on the spot. Sometimes they were taken away, an unrecognizable mass of the bleeding flesh. For the finding of the difference in the deaths from the inflammation and fever, sickness, and shame. Verse 7. I set my face like a flint, a figure of the determination. See Ezekiel 3:9. It is worthy of note that the Yahshua again and again speaks of his dependence upon the Father. For the Yahweh will help me, Yahshua says cheerfully and trustingly, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. Verse 8, he is near, that justifieth me. For the Yahshua on the cross was dying, condemned as a criminal, crucified between two criminals, but the Yahshua was near, even in the thick darkness that enveloped the cross. The Father's presence was hidden, and he would justify him. Yahshua had been condemned on the charge that in claiming to be the Son of Yahweh, he had committed blasphemy Matthew 26:63-66. For the Yahweh did justify Yeshua in the raising him from the dead. Romans 1:4. See also 1 Timothy 3:16. By that he was declared by the Father to be the Son of Yahweh, who will contend. Compare Romans 8:33-34. Verse 9. For the moth shall eat them up, a figure of the corruption. Psalms 39:11. Verse 10. For the question is addressed unto those who live up unto all the light that they have, and yet do not experience the happiness and joy that should be theirs. For the answer is for the to wait and trust. Verse 11. Instead of accepting Yahweh's light, they start a fire of their own and walk in that light, and in the sparks they have kindled, this shall be unto their own sorrow. Lessons for today. This is our next subtitle. We're on page 198 of Isaiah the Gospel Prophet by the M.L. Anderson. Okay, lessons for today is where we left off. This is at 19 minutes and 23 seconds. We're on page 198 of Isaiah the Gospel Prophet, M.L. Anderson. It says Isaiah 49:24, for the question raised in this verse is a most important one. Can a man be saved who has transgressed all the laws of Yahweh and man? Is there really hope for a woman who is down in the mire? What about the slave to drink, or drugs, or tobacco, or the sensual pleasures, or the debased, or the depossessed, or the insane, or the criminal? All of these are Satan's captives. Some of them are willingly so, others are not as yet reconciled unto their fate. Is there any hope? Verse 25. For the answer comes back loud and strong. There is deliverance for all. For the question is not as to the strength of their captive, but as to the strength of the deliverer. Now this is who we are. Yahweh has raised us up as servants, and he said his servants are deliverers. So he sent his son Yahshua as a servant and a deliverer. He sent him with Moses, and he said Moses was sent as a deliverer. He raised up your reform people during the Dark Ages as deliverers, one doctrine at a time. Martin Luther, 1500, righteousness by faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant is the doctrine you give him. And you gave John Knox, 1543, you gave him the Holy Spirit as a doctrine. That you have to have the Holy Spirit to understand and to be a deliverer, you got to have the backing of the Holy Spirit. And you had John Wesley, Methodist, 1725, was a deliverer for England. He delivered that whole nation of England. And you had Alexander Campbell, the Baptist. And he was a deliverer, and he was the one that led into the Seventh-day Sabbath for the Seventh-day Advent. These were all deliverers. William Miller, a deliverer. Ellen G. White, a deliverer. V.T. Holliffe delivers. Jones and Wagner delivers. Taylor G. Bunch a deliverer. Adventist. M.L. Andreessen that wrote this book we're reading from, a deliverer. V.T. Holliffe, Shepherd's Rod, 1930, a deliverer. His successor, Ben Roden, a deliverer. And Verlis W. Johnson, successor of Ben Roden, a deliverer. And myself, as a successor of all these people, especially Verlis Johnson, a deliverer. So we're responsible for what we're called for. It says, if the deliverer has the power, let's continue reading. We're on page 198, Isaiah the Gospel Prophet. We're at the middle of the page. It says, if the deliverer has the power, that is all that counts. And our Savior is a strong deliverer, Yahweh. He's a strong for the Yeshua entered the grave. Yes, and the power of his Holy Spirit by his Father through the blood of the everlasting covenant, Hebrews 13:20, is what brought him up out of the grave too. For the strong man's house, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. So that's what we're after today. That is the devil, and deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject unto bondage. Hebrews 2:14-15. Through the death of the Yahshua, there is a deliverance for all. Okay, through his death. Unto the Yahweh to be the glory. Isaiah 50:1. Ye sold yourselves, for the separation from the Yahweh was not his fault, but theirs. They had sold themselves. Men and women still sell themselves. The women who barters her virtue for gold is justly abhorred. For the man who sells his soul for the unjust gain is in no better position. Truth, integrity, honesty, virtue, loyalty, what wealth can be compared unto these? Yet men sell these every day, and for a pittance. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Mark 8:30. Many a young woman has sold eternal life for a few hours of fleeting pleasure, followed by the years of bitter regret. Many a young man has given up his title unto heaven for the promotion here on earth, and an accusing conscience. For note this, there is no mere worldly enjoyment, but has a corresponding sorrow added unto it. It is only in the Yahweh that we can have true joy, and he added no sorrow with it. Proverbs 10:22, verse 4. A word in season. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. Proverbs 25:11. What a blessing. A word in season is, and what a curse a word may be if it is not fitly spoken. Okay. Oh, no. It says, when you get into the deep waters, keep your mouth shut and get as good advice, not only for the swimmers, but for all. What opportunities for good we miss because we do not know how to speak the right word. And yet, in the words of the text, I should know how to speak a word in season unto him that is weary. Okay, now, many years ago, before I wasn't even going to church, but I was spiritual minded, and when I say many years ago, I'm talking about over 60 years ago. And I asked Yahweh, I said a prayer, I said, give me a scripture from the Bible that I can memorize and remember the rest of my life, and that it will be the right thing that I need to put in my mind to always be there. And lo and behold, I opened up this scripture in Isaiah, I believe it's 51, but I just quoted part of it just now. Yeah. It says, He hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I may know how to speak a word in season unto him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning, he wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. I believe that's in Isaiah 50 verse 5 or 51 verse 4 or 5. What opportunity for the good we miss because we do not know how to speak the right word. Okay. Lost for the want of a word. A word that you might have spoken. Who knows what eyes may be dim, or what hearts may be aching and broken. Verses 5 and 6. For the Yahshua did not turn back. He knew the future and what he must suffer physically. He knew the greater soul anguish through which he must pass. He knew the lack of the understanding and appreciation on the part of those who were closest unto him. But he did not turn back. Courageously he went forward, facing misunderstanding, suffering, death. Okay, it says, for the servant is not greater than his master. All that will live righteously in Yahshua shall suffer persecution. 2 Timothy 3:12. Do we have the courage, the fortitude, and the faith we need? Can we go quietly on our way, facing scorn, neglect, injustice? If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Hebrews 10:38. Face like a flint. Verse 7. Flint is unyielding, for the Yahshua was unmovably determined to go on. He had set his face like a flint. With him there was no compromise, no halfway measure, no more than John the Baptist was. He, a reed shaken with the wind. One of the greatest dangers before us today is the spirit of the compromise. Brother John the Baptist could probably have saved his life had he not rebuked sin in the high places. Matthew 14:3-12. Yet among them that are born of a woman, there hath not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. Mark 11:11. He was the Elijah which was for to come. Verse 14. And before the Yahshua comes, he will again send Elijah the prophet. And that's who I represent today. That is a people that will go forth in the spirit and power of the Elijah. Malachi 4:5. Luke 1:17. Verse 9. For the Yahweh will help thee. We can never face the future. We can never get through even one day without Yahweh's help. Verse 10 and 11. Experiences come unto all of us that we do not fully understand. This verse propounds a question and presents a solution which should interest all. Everyone that is bound for the kingdom will sooner or later go through Gethsemane. For the road to heaven leads to Galilee. It goes by way of the Golgotha. Dark hours will come unto every soul, as came unto Yahshua in the garden. Has Yahweh forsaken us? Did Yahweh forsake Yahshua? Yet he prayed three times and the cup did not pass. Trust in the name of the Yahshua is Yahweh's advice when the dark days come. Stay upon the Yahweh. Your prayers may not be answered immediately, but do not give up. For to learn to walk with Yahweh in the dark is one of life's lessons, and a most precious one. It develops faith, courage, hope, and trust. As no experience walking with him in the light ever can. So when the dark days come, do not try to make a light of your own and to walk in the sparks of your own kindling. Put your hand in the Yahweh's, walk a little closer, trust a little more, and a richer, nobler, larger faith shall be yours. Okay, that's the end of chapter 8, or chapter 9, I guess. I thought that was chapter 8. I guess that was 9. Now we're going to chapter 10. It says, the power, the righteousness and power of the Yahweh, his care for his people. Now we are indeed his people. We are the true seeds of Abraham through Isaac, through David. We're come all the way down to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David, Yeshua at the cross. We come down through all of his apostles. Now clear on down to today. We came down through William Miller, Ellen G. White, Lee T. Hollis, Ben Roden, Verlis W. Johnson, and we come down on the Isaac side of all of this. Not on the Esau side, but on Isaac's side, or the Ishmael side. We came through the Isaac side of Abraham's seed. So it says in chapter 10, it says, the righteousness and power of Yahweh has care for his people. Lesson scripture, Isaiah 51, 1 to 16. It says, Isaiah 51, 1 to 8, encouragement for the people of Yahweh. This section consists of three parts, each one of which begins with the hearken, verse 1, 4, 7. It is an earnest appeal unto the true Israel to put away all fear and grasp Yahweh's promises in their full import. So verses 1 through 3 of Isaiah 51, a retrospect. Let those that seek the Yahshua and earnestly desire righteousness hear what the Yahshua says. Look at your past history. Consider your origin. Look at Abraham and Sarah. I called him when he was alone and blessed and multiplied him. So the Yahshua shall comfort Zion and make her waste places fruitful, even as the garden of the Eden, and there shall be joy and gladness. Where we're at today in one of those waste places Eden. We're in one of those waste places. We're here in the Pet of the Rams, Antipical Pet of the Ram, and in the house of Antipical Laban, of the house of Abraham. And Eden, and there shall be joy and gladness. So the Yahshua shall comfort Zion and make her waste places fruitful. Well, Yahweh sent us down here at this place where we're at today, and he's going to make it, we're praying that he will make it fruitful. even as the Garden of Eden, and there shall be joy and gladness. Verses 4 to 6. For the Yahweh's righteousness and salvation are near. Let my people give ear unto me. A law shall proceed from me, and true doctrine shall be a light unto the people. For my righteousness is ready to be revealed, and my salvation has already gone forth. That means the sanctuary system has been restored. By Vertus W. Johnson, 1970. That's the salvation of Yahshua that has already gone forth. And we're publishing the creation calendar every year. That Vertus Johnson started in 1970, putting us back on the ordained system of true worship of the sanctuary, perfecting righteousness and holiness in Yahshua. A law shall proceed from me, and true doctrine shall be a light unto the people. My righteousness is ready to be revealed, and my salvation is already gone forth. Mine arm shall judge the people, and far off lands are waiting for me. For the heavens shall vanish away, and the earth grow old as a garment. But my salvation and my righteousness shall always endure. Verse 7 and 8, do not be afraid of men. Let my people that know righteousness, that keep my law, hearken unto me. Do not be afraid of the reproaches of men or of the reviling, for they shall soon be destroyed. But my righteousness and my salvation shall always endure. Verse 9 to 11. An appeal unto the Yahweh to put on his strength. Let's do that again. An appeal unto the Yahshua, the Son, to put on his strength, because he put on the strength of his Father, and that strength that we put on comes indirectly, starts with the Father and his Spirit. Awake, O arm of the Yahshua, and put on the strength as in the days of old, when thou didst hew Rahab in pieces and wounded the dragon. That's in Isaiah 27. Thou didst drop the Red Sea and made a way for thy people to pass over, for the redeemed shall return. Now look at this here, redeemed. R-E-D-E-E-M-E-D. Anything that ends in E-D means it's a past tense, adverb. There's going to be a people that has already been redeemed thousands of years ago, and I'm talking about when Yahshua died on the cross. He redeemed those that had been perfected by the blood system that they'd been following in the Old Testament. And that's in Hebrews 10:14. For the redeemed shall return and come unto Zion. Okay, and that would be Zion in the 12th parabolic hour that we're in now. With song and gladness, and sorrow and mourning shall be no more. Verse 12 to 16. For Yahshua again comforts his people. I am the Yahshua that comforts you. Why then should you be afraid of man that shall die and forget that true Yahweh made the heaven and earth? Those that are captive shall speedily be loosed and shall not die in the pit. Neither shall their bread fail. I am the Yahshua of the host. I divided the sea. So this is talking, the Son is talking. He said, I divided the sea when the waves roared. And I will put words in your mouth and protect you, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundation of the earth, and say unto the Mount Zion at the 12th hour, the house of David, tribe of Judah, lawgiver, thou art my people. That's in Genesis 49:10, lawgiver. Okay, and that the throne of David is in the prophecy of Isaiah 9:6-8 and Luke 1:32-3, Isaiah 51:1. Justice, justice shalt thou follow. Deuteronomy 16:20. margin. For the word rendered justice here is the same as righteousness here. Righteousness was therefore the call unto Israel of old. Shalt thou follow, that thou mayest live, and inherit the land which Yeshua thy deliverer giveth thee, your Savior and Redeemer? For the call here is for them that follow after the righteousness. That's the practice of the ordained system of the true worship of the sanctuary. Of all the feast days, holy days during the each year, there are 70 of them. That's recorded there in Leviticus 23:1-44. For the call here is unto them that follow after righteousness, earnestly desiring it, and that seek the Yeshua. Look unto the rock. Now this is Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:4. Said Yeshua was that rock in the cloud that followed the children of Israel out of Egypt, that led them out and followed them in the wilderness for 40 years with Moses. For the figure here used is that of a rock quarry, whence the rock for a building is hewn. For the original stone, rough as it comes from the pit, does not much resemble the finished product as it appears later in the building. Much work and labor must be expended on it before it is fit and ready. And when at last it is polished and given a place of the honor, it seems so much unlike the uncouth original rock that hardly any resemblance remains. And unto the hole of the pit, the hole left after the rock is removed, would give an idea both of the shape and the size of the original piece, as well as of the general surrounding whence it came. Verse 2, look unto Abraham and unto Sarah. Abraham was called when he was alone, that is childless, for the original call is recorded in Genesis 12:1-3. Through Yahweh promises to make of him a great nation. But Sarah, Abraham's wife, bear him no children, Genesis 16:1. Now look upon the Abraham and Sarah. Abraham was old, and as good as dead. Sarah, the same, and past age, Hebrews 11:11-12, Romans 4:19. Yet from these two sprang a great nation, as they in faith grasped the promises of the Yahweh. Verse 3. For the Yahshua shall comfort Zion. For the same Yahshua, the Son, who could make a great nation of Abraham. We're talking about the Father Yahweh. For the same Yahweh, who could make a great nation of Abraham when he was as good as dead, can bless Mount Zion at the 12th hour. That's who we are in the present tense. And make all her waste places blossom like the Garden of Eden. Well, Texas, where we're located today, this is where we've been sent to all the waste places here in Texas. When we joined the Republic of Texas back in 1996, when Gilead Center Brothers Johnson, we joined the Republic of Texas movement to reclaim Texas as a sovereign nation. Well, we went to every major city in Texas, and for 18 months, we followed it every 3 weeks. We'd go to a new location for a meeting all over Texas, north, south, east, and west. We covered all the waste places that is to be reclaimed by this great nation of Texas. And I have all of the legal paperwork for the doing this. Hence let not Yahweh's people lose courage, because they are few in the number. Verse 4. A law in general, judgment, doctrines, the true religion. Verse 5. My righteousness is near. My righteousness here we must understand all that is included in the Yahweh's plan of the salvation, both as to the salvation of His people and the punishment of the wicked. Okay, for the salvation and judgment spoken of in the next are the two parts of the righteousness. Verse 6, for the heavens shall vanish away, and the earth shall wax old. For the contrast here is between that which shall vanish away and that which is eternal. Look at the heavens, look at the earth. Can anything appear more solid and substantial or more likely to endure forever? Okay. Yet the heavens shall vanish away as smoke, and the earth and its inhabitants perish. But Yahweh's salvation and righteousness, His eternal law of right, shall not cease nor be abolished. In the like manner, perhaps like gnats, it says, verse 7, ye that know righteousness, we have here a definition of who those are that know righteousness. They are the people in whose heart is my law. In verse 1, we have those mentioned that follow after and seek righteousness. Here we have those who have found it, who know righteousness, and lo, in their heart is the law. The same is said of Yahshua, that he had the law within his heart. And the next statement is, I have preached righteousness. Psalms 40, verse 8 and 9. Law and righteousness go together. It was seen from the next statement and the verse that those who keep the law would be reproached and reviled. At that, we need not be surprised, for the previous chapters brought to view of Yahshua's offering, and we shall not escape, but we need not fear or be afraid. Verse 8, for the moth and the worm shall do their work, but the Yahweh's righteousness and salvation shall be forever. Verse 9 and 10, Rahab and the dragon are both symbolic names for Egypt. See Psalms 89:10, margin. Ezekiel 29:3. For the American Revised Version of Isaiah 30, verse 7 said, Egypt, I called her Rahab. The word means the proud one. The dragon is also another name for Satan. Revelation 12:7-9. It says, Rahab and the dragon are therefore symbolic of Egypt, which formerly held Yahweh's people in bondage. For the Yahshua with a mighty hand delivered his people, and Pharaoh and his army were destroyed in the Red Sea. This whole incident is called to the mind of the prophet, as he has a view of the events of the last day. Again, Yahweh's people are oppressed, for the governments of the earth unite themselves against the elect. They are reproached, blamed for the calamities that are coming on the earth, and reviled. Unto the view of the prophet, it appears as if they will be overwhelmed, and that Yahweh does not interfere in his anxiety. Isaiah calls upon Yahweh to awake as if he were asleep. But Yahweh is not asleep. He knows what is going on, and he will speedily answer the cry that goes up unto him. He is merely waiting until the right time comes. They must drink the cup. They must, verse 11, therefore the Yahshua has interfered, and the 0 hour deliverance came. We're talking about this deliverance in the 0 hour. Therefore, the redeemed of the Yahshua shall return and come with the singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. Verse 12, afraid of a man that shall die? verse 9 to 11, are put in the midst of the description of what shall happen in the last day, for they represent the prophet's appeal unto Yahweh as he sees what Yahweh's people are passing through. He now continues the description that was interrupted by these verses. Verse 13, feared continually every day, for the trials of the last days are severe ones. It will seem unto Yahweh's people that the fury of the oppression can be restrained no longer, for they fear every day that he is ready to destroy. Verse 14, but it will not be long, for the captive exiles shall speedily be loosed, and he shall not die and go down into the pit, neither shall his bread fail. Okay, verse 16, Yahweh has shielded his people in the shadow of his hand, that he may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth. For the word plant is the same as is used in Genesis 2:8. Yahweh's people are a holy seed, and he will use them when the new heavens and the new earth are called into being. Lessons for today. Isaiah 51:1. It is well for all of us to look back once in a while and consider where we would have been if the truth had not found us. It is also well to consider what the truth has done for us and those that are inclined to think themselves important. It says, may look at the whole of the pit whence they were digged, not a very large hole likely in a large quarry, acres perhaps, miles in extent. One little stone makes not much difference. Hence it is well for our own good to look back to find our right place. Verse 2, it says to look at Abraham and Sarah should establish our faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua. Here were two old people who apparently had outlived their usefulness. But Yahweh takes hold of the matters. These two take hold of him and things happen. We often speak of the work of the young people and their opportunities. Did not the old forget that Yahweh can do as much for them? Verse 3, for the Yahweh will comfort all her waste places. All of us have some unfruitful traits, some waste and uncultivated places in our lives. Yahweh can make them blossom like Eden. Verse 6, lift up your eyes, that is, consider, think. Look upon things as Yahweh looks upon them. Value that which he values. Some things will vanish, others will remain. For the true value of anything is that which Yahweh places upon it. Verse 7. Make no mistake in this matter. For the statement is not that the law is in their heads or upon their lips, but in their hearts. And if the law is where it belongs, in the heart, it will not reveal itself in a cold, formal, legal religion, but in a warm, helpful, happy life. For the lips indeed will speak, and they will speak out of the abundance of the heart. For the law will find expression in the words as well as deeds, but the expressions will come from a heart filled with the love of Yahweh. For the reproach of men, Yahweh's people will be charged with bringing calamities and disasters. Do the best we can, yet the charges will be brought. But is it not worthwhile now to live in such a manner that men will be convinced of your integrity and honesty, so that when the charges are brought, they will be condemned? They will condemn not us. verses 9 and 10. Man's extremity is Yahweh's opportunity. Yahweh, after all, is our strength, and not our own wisdom or cunning. We should have the faith in the Yahweh that will cause us not to fear, but to rest for the rest our case with Him. Yahweh may seem to be asleep and not to care. At such time, all we can do is to watch and pray. We may have to wait, and waiting is said to be man's hardest task, but we shall not need to wait long. This brings us to the end of chapter 10, and also to the end of our status. Our contact is at the 11th hour call, and that's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Don't let that ship sail by that Elijah Day.
Don't let that ship sail by, lost and mean on the shore. That's when you know that mighty ship is standing by the door. To welcome all to come aboard, there's a room for many more. As the ship sets sail for the harbor, lights up that far off distant shore. Don't let that ship sail by, don't let that ship sail by, for she has a pail of for delivering in the sky. For the saints have all ended, are riding her on high. So don't get caught standing there when that ship goes sailing by. Oh, dreams of light and harbor, silver ships in the sky, and a grin of thunder sailing deep as that sweet by and by. Yes, a dream about those mansions Yah has gone to prepare. And a dream that Sunday meeting lands in the air. Don't let that ship sail by, don't let that ship sail by, for she has a payload to give her in the sky. For the saints of all ages are riding her on high. So don't get caught standing there when that ship goes sailing by. Don't let that ship sail by while standing on the shore. For the rough and the tide is good, room for many more. For the captain of that mighty ship is standing by the door. For the welcome all to come aboard destination and shore.